Schlock Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Live, you just got to get the right phone. All right, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes, I believe it is, yes. All right, welcome to tonight's broadcast. We've got a fantastic show for you tonight. As always, I want to go ahead and bring in our co-host for the evening. We're going to be joined by some of our co-hosts this evening. I'm certainly looking forward to that. Let's go ahead and bring in and start the evening off with Ms. Shea. Ms. Shea, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always a pleasure and honor to have you.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be here again, where Dr. Walker would not just be telling stories, but changing lives.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Ms. Shea, it's always good to have you. Let's go ahead and bring in Benny from the Block. Benny from the Block. Great to have you with us tonight. We certainly look forward to your commentary.
Good evening, and happy, thankful Thursday. It's a pleasure to be in on this rainy day, but I'm excited, so let's go with the show.
All right, excellent. Port Rosette, nice to have you with us this evening. Welcome.
Good evening, Dr. Walker and all the co-hosts. It's so great to be here.
Excellent, excellent. Let's go in. I believe we got Patricia Park, but she hasn't pressed one on her dial yet. We're waiting for her to press one, and as soon as she does, we'll gladly bring her in. Patricia Park, just press one on your dial. Okay. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, tonight we're going to be talking about why do I struggle in making better decisions, not just good decisions, but just making better decisions. I mean, so tonight is about decision-making. Benny from the Block, I want to start out with you tonight. Why do you think people struggle, or do you think it is a struggle for people to make good or better decisions? Ms. Jay, let's bring you in with that same question.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
I think for some people it may be a struggle. Mainly, I feel, because of fear of making the wrong decision probably, you know. Anytime they face with making a choice, they probably freeze up because they're afraid to do, maybe because of past experiences and or whatever.
That's an interesting point for fear. People are afraid of making the wrong decision. I mean, you got some people, how about not making any decision, Ms. J, when you need to make a decision? I mean,
that's just as bad. That means you don't have enough confidence in yourself. You don't listen to your gut or your true feelings, you know. Self-confidence in yourself.
So are you saying then, and then we're going to let you read the disclaimer in a couple of minutes, but are you saying then that you find people all the time, they feel like they got to have other people make decisions for them? Oh, no, child, I don't want to, that's too big a decision for me. I don't want to make no decision like that. I'd rather for somebody else to make the decision. What is that about?
Yeah, you got some people that depend on other people, which is the wrong way to go because, you know, everybody don't know what you truly need. They'll think about what they need or how they feel about things, but is that what you truly need? And to let other people think for you, you know, that's not good.
All right. Let's go to Poet Rosette, and then, Ms. Shea, we're going to have you read the disclaimer. Poet Rosette, what about you? You think people really struggle with making decisions? Poet Rosette? Poet Rosette, can you hear me?
I'm sorry. I realized my phone was on mute. Yes, I feel that sometimes it's a struggle to make a better decision because many temptations are like vying for our attention.
I don't understand that. You say sometimes people are vying for our attention?
Because it's like maybe we're thinking I should do this, but then you may end up getting a call. It's just like, for example, I know several years ago I had a decision between two different jobs. And so I had to like kind of sit down and think about not only which one I preferred, but which one was best for me and for my family. And so so you may be like tempted at first to answer right away, but maybe you don't need to. Maybe you just need to kind of think about it for a moment and then, you know, make a decision. So that's why I said that there may be more than one thing kind of vying for your attention. And so, yeah, you need that time to decide.
That's very interesting. All right, we've got Ricky to the Rescue that's going to be joining us tonight. Ricky to the Rescue, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Yes, good evening. Good evening. I hope everything is going well your way and everyone else's way.
Thank you. Good to have you with us. Ms. J, go ahead and read that disclaimer. And just before you do, let's see if we've got Patricia Parker on. Patricia Parker, do we have you with us tonight? Patricia Parker. Okay, perhaps we don't have her tonight. All right, Ms. Day, go ahead and read the disclaimer.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or leadership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the programming tonight.
All right, excellent, excellent. We're going to go ahead and read tonight's story, and we're going to entertain comments as they come through in tonight's broadcast. Let's start out with, why do I struggle in making better decisions? Tonight's character is Victoria. She's by herself tonight. Victoria is a 35-year-old. She's a single mom with three young children. She married at age 21 two of the young kids are young, and the other one is a teenager. She married at age 21 to her oldest daughter's father and had two other children from a man she dated for 7 years after her divorce. Victoria has a serious struggle in making good or better decisions relative to her daily life choices, which includes anything from making choices for her kids, job, dating, and a host of other matters. Now, here's an example of a serious struggle Victoria encountered several years ago that actually contributed to a massive downfall in her economic crisis up to the current day. Now, 5 years ago, Victoria needed a vehicle and sought the advice of a good friend. The friend encouraged her to look at her budget to see what she could afford. Upon doing so, Victoria could only afford a used vehicle for no more than $250 a month and $150 towards automobile insurance. All right, that's a total of $400. Victoria and her friend visited a car dealership that sold new and used cars. When they arrived, several salesmen approached them and convinced Victoria to purchase a new vehicle at the opposition of her friend. Well, Victoria purchased a vehicle with payments of over $600 a month and did not include automobile insurance. At the time, Victoria was making less than $18,000 a year and trying to support her children, her three children, with very little help outside of living with her mom. The bottom line is that Victoria could not afford the payments and the insurance for the car. Within 6 months of having the car, Victoria's insurance on the car had lapsed, and 3 months later, she totaled the car in a serious accident of which she sustained minimal injuries. Unfortunately, for the next 6 years, Victoria's paycheck was garnished for the payment of this car that she no longer had. Here are a few other bad decisions that have plagued Victoria, and she has no clue on how to overcome her struggles in making good or better decisions. Now, number one, she dropped out of high school in her junior year. Number two, she married a man whom she had only known for 2 months, who controlled her in everything they did up until he filed for divorce. Number three, she falls in love easily with men whom she only meets for a short span of time. Number four, Victoria, her best two friends are in similar situations with their own struggles in making good decisions. Number five, she has no desire of learning a vocation or trade or getting a better education because she feels that's a waste of time. Number six, she tries to live a life beyond her financial means, which has seriously affected her credit and ability to have a better lifestyle for her and her children. Number seven, she has been having an affair with a married man for the past 3 years who takes her out on occasion and only gives her money to pay her light bill. The list goes on and on. One good thing that is currently in Victoria's favor, she lives with her mom in the hood, where the rent is very low. The question that we start out tonight, Ms. Yeh, I want to come with to you with this question. Could there be a pattern to Victoria's choices in making poor decisions? Do you think there's a pattern here?
I don't know what her mother did, but it seems like she's hanging, well, her friend tried to help her, but somewhere or another, she's hanging around the wrong crowd that wants her to live, or the wrong people. Somebody wants her to live beyond her means here. And she's worried about what other people think about her, and she's trying to keep up with the Joneses somewhat, but she can't. Even though this one friend told her not to get this car, you know, because she probably could only afford to use, but somewhere in the story, I'm just adding to the story that you didn't mention, there's somebody behind the scenes that's encouraging her to do these things, to make these bad decisions. So following friends that you got no business following. That's what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. Benny from the block, let's see if you're here. Benny from the block, are you there? Are you on mute?
I am here.
Okay, all right, Benny from the block. I mean, here it is. This is a woman. She's 35 years old and still making bad decisions. Is there, in your opinion, is there a point in time where you just stop making some bad decisions and change friends, change directions, change gears? What do you do?
I think that when you have a person who has, from an early standpoint in life, has perpetually been making bad decisions, they will continue to make bad decisions until there's a gap or a stopgap that comes in their lives and allows them to see themselves for who they are. They are defeated and deflated in their thinking and their thoughts. So they allow the irresponsibility of life to come up and let the responsibility of life to go down. And therefore, in their vision and their view, they only see irresponsibility as being right. Because in her decisions, her men choices, her multiple children choices, her lifestyle choices, the over-accommodation of cars and stuff, it is a perpetual state of just irresponsibility in her decision-making. She needs some friends around her who are going to be able to tell her the truth about who she is and what she's doing. And until she hits that wall fat and square on, she's not going to change. Today we have a lot of people, particularly women, no disrespect to any of y'all because I love all y'all, but a lot of women now are leaning on their own understanding about what they think life is. Oh, I'm a boss. I'm a this. I'm a that. I'm a this. Okay. Until the rubber hits the road and then reality sets in and you find out you're really not a boss. You just roadkill, and you don't even know it.
Wow. So, Benny, and we're going to give some of the women a chance to respond to that. So, and I know you're not saying that a woman has to have a man to validate her. So, I mean, they're certainly capable of making some fantastic decisions, and I know that you're not trumping on them or anything like that. So why do you think that some women feel that they're not, that they feel that they are the boss when they might not be the boss? And some men might even feel they're the boss and they're not the boss. Your thoughts on that?
Well, this is a question. We're talking about Victoria Knight, so I was directing to that. I am 1,000% comfortable with a strong woman who has good moral values, who can make good decisions, who has done very well in her life and successful. There are several of them on the radio show tonight with us that I know of, just by listening to them. And so what I'm saying is they have practiced the art of making good decisions, which means that they are seeking counsel but not seeking someone to tell them what to do. See, it's one thing to tell somebody what to do. It's another thing to seek counsel from a good source and take those counsel and put it together with what you are and what you already know. And because you have a certain degree of wisdom about you, you're able to make very good decisions based on who you are and how you were designed to be. A lot of these people who want to be bosses are making choices based on what other people have done, what they see through the world of, you know, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. And if your friend out there is a boss chick or a bad chick, I want to be like her because look like she's having all the fun and doing everything she wants to. It is true. They are. And they are doing all the things they want to, and they are doing a lot of it. But here's the problem. It's like playing duck, duck, goose. And once somebody hits your head and you are the goose, guess what? Game over for you at that point. But a woman who's solid, who makes solid decisions over time, pacing herself, will end up at the top of the food chain because she has the wisdom, the understanding, and she realizes her worth and how much she is a benefit. I don't think you need a man to be that way or have that with a man. I'm not saying that. I've not mentioned a man at all. I'm just mentioning how you could become a great decision maker, which will lead to a great life.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. And again, you know, when we give these shows every week, you all, because we're dealing with human beings, and which makes up the animal kingdom as well, we're not talking about bears and tigers and lions. So if we give a story 1 week about a woman, and all of our stories are inspired by true stories, it doesn't necessarily mean that this is only happening to one gender. This same story could be about Victor, you know, a man. It just so happens this is the story about a woman this evening. But all of our stories can go intertwined. It could be Victor, men and women. So we're never picking on any one gender. So we don't want any of you all to ever think that. For Rosetta, I want to, and I know that that's not what Benny from the Block was saying. So, Port Rosette, I do want to bring you in, and I want to get your thoughts on. I mean, since tonight's story is about Vicky, Victoria, as Benny from the Block was relating to, what do you think that? Why is she making bad decisions? If it was Victor, why is he making bad decisions? Why? You're just steady in an environment, but why? Can she break out of this?
Yeah, I honestly believe that it's all wrapped up in the power of choice. And ladies, please choose not to be roadkill, and then you will be able to rejoice. You know what? I think maybe because she started out young, like you said, with choosing someone, and then now maybe, and then, you know, a series of other things happen to her as well, she really needs to kind of just pull back and work on herself because she really isn't valuing herself. And as a result, you know, she maybe thinks that she needs these extra material things to make up. Like, you know, like you said, she could only afford, let's just say she could afford a Toyota Corolla, but she went out and got a Lexus. You know what I mean? Because you said it's like $600 a month or something. So she really has to realize that it's not the things that, you know, give you value, but it's, you know, it's not only your view of yourself, but, you know, when you see yourself through God's eyes, then you'll be, you know, you'll realize that you don't have to have things you can't afford just to, you know, to be considered, like, valuable.
All right, we're going to actually stand by. Ricky Zarisco, I want to bring in, and perhaps you might speak to this issue, but as well, I want to ask this question. Well, I want to actually put this out there. I realize myself that it is a struggle for people to make better decisions. It's a struggle for them if within their environment, which includes their associations, they're only hanging around like-minded people who are also making these bad decisions. I mean, when you think about it, you think about even the criminal element, you know, when they conspire to commit a crime. I mean, you take some 18, 19, 20-year-old, even if they're 30 and 40-year-olds, they come together and say, hey, man, let's go rob this convenience store in the neighborhood. Okay, let's put on some hood. And it's almost like, and I'm getting to the question, it's like they're thinking, okay, we're not going to get caught. They make their plans. But, you know, when you go to three other guys and you're saying, let's hit this convenience store in our neighborhood, you know, Charlie's local grocery store where their moms shop at, you know, and the crime doesn't discriminate. It can be anywhere. But just so happens this might be the hood. So they're going to go rob that store. And there's a good likelihood for the robbery, they may only get $150, if that. So now you got to split $150 with four people. That's 30, 40, 30, 60, 90, 120, 150, about $35 a piece or so for around there. And now all of a sudden things go awry and somebody gets shot, the store owner. Now you got charges that go even up higher. And now there's the camera, somebody recognizes these kids. Well, it doesn't have to be kids because it could be 40-year-olds. So, Ricky DeRescu, my question becomes, why is it that, I mean, we can all be on this radio and say, well, this needs to happen or that needs to happen, but it is not easy. It is not easy for people, environmentally or otherwise, who have been in this, have this culture of a mindset for so long to just break through that. Give me your thoughts on break this down for us, in your opinion. You know, this is a mindset. This is a mindset. I mean, many of us are looking and saying, why don't you stop doing drugs? You know, many of us are saying, well, why don't you stop being a part of this game? Why don't you stop, you know, snatching purses? I mean, let's talk about the culture, the behavior, and the underlying factors. I know that's a lot, but go ahead. Give us your thought.
So I would like to start off by saying oftentimes many people, don't want to say most people because I really don't have, the data to support it, but you either overthink or you don't think enough, right? To try to find that balance that's in between is real difficult to find. So as you was kind of explaining the story and you was highlighting all the consequences and things of that nature, oftentimes when people are in that position, they're not thinking about those things. They're thinking that the end result is I'm going to get paid. But what does that really look like? That doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to only get $150. That's not how they're looking at it. They're just looking at their end result is I'm getting paid. And so then you may have another person on the opposing end who just overthink it, right? And they might just freeze up and don't do anything. But I think it's also important to talk about the pleasure hormones that's in the brain, because when we start talking about these decision makers, and I'm thinking about the actual story that you mentioned with the young lady that's in the story, it sounds like she was having a dopamine rush. And so dopamine, that's that pleasure hormone that provides the reward system in our brain. This is where the shopping lies. But on the flip side of it, this is also where addiction lies. This is where that pattern behavior is formed. It's that dopamine. And so with that, that's what I think that's going on with her.
Right, and that's a very interesting point. And this can happen with anybody, because even though, like Rick the Rescue was saying, and I fully agree with that, that a lot of times these people are not looking at they're looking at the end result of I'm getting paid, you know, the $30 or the $35 that they're getting. And it's just like, you know, if you're either going to underthink this, like he's saying, you're going to go to the corner store Well, the cornerstone, I mean, that's underthinking, and certainly this program is not presenting anything to go out there and do any criminal act. That's not what we're saying. So you got those on the other end, because those are underthinkers that are thinking about hitting a local grocery store. Then you got yours who might do some overthinking or still underthinking because they say, well, let's hit this bank. Banks have the money. But then the big thing is, people don't think that they're going to get caught. And this is what I'm thinking. I mean, you catch one of them, and I know that there's a silent culture out there. You know, you don't snitch. But somewhere along the way, I mean, it's going to catch up with you. Ms. Jay, let's bring you in here. Ms. Jay, why do you think that people just struggle? They struggle and saying, I mean, let's take the guys. Let's switch from Victoria tonight just for a second and say these guys who conspire, and we see it on the news every day. Ms. Jay, why can one of those guys, let's say they're in their teens, they're 19 to 23. Ms. Jay, in your opinion, why couldn't one or two of them say, nah, man, I'm not going out there to hit Charlie's grocery store. My mama shops here. Man, I'm not going out there because what if things don't go right? Man, I got a gun. Ain't nothing going to happen. So why can't one of them step up, Ms. Jay? Why do they struggle with that?
I hear what you're saying, but who is to say that they think that they are struggling? That's their lifestyle. That's their choice. That's what they want. So in their mind, to me, they're not really struggling. They're doing what they do to get what they want, and that's all they want, just like Victoria and any other person. If somebody out there robbing, that's what they want to do. They're not struggling. They feel, okay, I don't want to work no way. So robbing the bank, trying to get some money that way is not a struggle for me. That's something I just want to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I hear you saying, you know, why do people struggle? But everybody don't think they're struggling. And in your story, to me, Victoria do not think she's struggling. She's happy with what she's doing. She ain't trying to improve herself no way. So the best thing I can say to Victoria, which I'm going to be a devil advocate right quick, on that number seven, she met with this married man for 3 years. She needs to work better on what she's doing. That's not really good decisions, but she needs to make some good bad decisions. Because the only thing this man is going to pay is the light bill. So yeah, I guess she's struggling to make them better bad decisions. I mean, come on now, Victoria.
Wait a minute, now,
do it bad better.
So, Ms. Jay, what you said for her, and this is you're saying that she's not struggling, and then you're saying at the end that she's struggling to make good decisions of what? With the married man expand her life.
She ain't struggling, but the girl making bad decisions, so she needs to make some better bad decisions, you know, because she just getting her light bill paid. So, because she ain't trying to work, she ain't trying to do that. She wants to live out there like the Joneses and everything, but she don't call it struggling. She call it living.
No. I think you raised a very good point. Let's go ahead and bring in Patricia Parker. Do we have you online with us this evening? Welcome.
Yes, welcome. I'm glad to be here, and I'm sorry I'm so late.
Get you in earlier. That's fine. So, Patricia, I love what Ms. Jay has said. She said, you know, she sees it a little differently, that maybe these people are not struggling. Maybe the ones who set out to go commit a crime, they're not struggling. They're doing what they want to do. Do you think that – so maybe it's just making bad decisions. How do you stop making bad decisions, Patricia Parker?
Well, in the first place, you be a leader, not a follower. Because a lot of people be a follower and make all of these decisions and don't think about it. They just do it because other people do it. And I always, and it comes from the home training too, because I don't know the story behind everything, but, you know, to me, if you don't want to better yourself, you're going to fall in any situation. And I always want to be better. And like when my kids was growing up, I used to tell them, I have nothing. We have nothing. I want you to be better. I want them to be better than me. And you got to teach them. You want them to be better. So you don't teach. When I was married, we stayed in front of a house that had none of the drugs in it. But we always teach our kids, you want to be better. Don't be a follower. Be a leader. And my son would go out there and play with them boys every day. But once they offered him some drugs, he told them he don't do those drugs. He want to get higher. And today he did make it because he's in the Air Force now as a sergeant in the Air Force.
Okay. Excellent. We're going to ask you to stand by. You want to be better. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're halfway through the show, you all, and we're going to ask you if you come find your comments 15, 20 seconds or less, because I've got a lot of comments that are coming to the studio. We still got a lot to cover tonight. And Rick the Rescue, I want to bring you in here with saying that, okay, so is it an assumption that if people know better, they do better? So could we, if that's the case, could we say that, let's just say Victoria, if she knew better, I mean, she dropped out in her junior year of high school, well, she's old enough, and I like what Ms. J is saying, that, hey, maybe this is what she wants. Maybe she doesn't see it as a struggle. So maybe I would see it as a struggle, and other might see it as, like, these bad decisions. So is it right for us to might judge her, or should we just help her?
Well, everyone can't be helped. And in line with the thinking that we're talking about, you know, there was a time where people, you know, did crime because they, you know, may came from the projects, areas like that. What you are seeing now is a lot of children who grown up in middle class or even affluent homes that have both parents in the homes that's going out and doing these things. And it's more of this rush, right? It's more of the image. It's more of, and interestingly enough, a lot of crimes are being caught on social media. So it's about this whole showmanship of doing things. That's what's popular now.
Okay. What's popular now?
The showmanship of actually committing crime. Like, I can post it on social media. You know, I could show you that I'm this particular image of a person. Like, it has become popular to be that way. And what I'm saying is, you know, in the past, in past generations, maybe you grew up in the projects and, you know, you needed to go steal or, you know, that was the logic behind people doing things of that sort. But it's not necessarily the case anymore.
It's not. Just last week I read about, well, I saw in the news, 19-year-old, nice-looking young man went out and killed four people, and he's smiling. He's smiling like, this is, and it's in line with what you're saying, like, this is my 15 minutes of fame, you know, and he posted it on social media. So, I mean, it was really sad, really, really, really sad to see. Poor Rosette, I want to bring you in for this first comment. Why do I struggle in making better decisions? This female writes in, I personally think some people make bad decisions because they're stuck on stupid. And by that I mean doing something that you know is not best for you. That's just how I see it. Poor Rosette, can you be stuck on stupid?
Yes, I think that some people are, and that's why it's important to not rely on your limited vision or insight. It's like trying to open the door without a flashlight. We do need wisdom to know if we should go left or right. And so, yeah, some people are stuck on stupid, so they need to read, and they need to, like, for example, even with her with that car choice, she needed to go and get at least two other comparisons first before making a decision.
Fine.
And sleep on it overnight as well.
Okay, all right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. T, if you're still with us, we'll give you this comment. I know you'll be leaving us shortly. Are
yes,
you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. All right, Ms. J, we're going to give you this comment here. This male, he writes in and he said, I simply think that people have not been properly trained in making better decisions, if that's possible to be trained to do so. Ms. J, do you think it's possible to train people to make better decisions? I mean, what do you think?
I think you can, and it starts when you're young, you know. They say you can't train an old dog, but sometimes you can. But I think it starts when you're young, you know, with your parents or teachers or whatever, and it goes from there. If you can stay away from the wrong people, you'll probably continue making good decisions.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Patricia, I want to give you this comment here in 15 seconds or less, if you would. This female, she says, when it comes to struggling to make better decisions, I've wondered the same question for years for myself because I seem to be constantly making the same bad decisions that keep haunting me. How can I make better decisions, especially when it comes to relationships, choosing the right man? I've been through 4 men in the last 6 months, and they just all keep leaving me. What do you say to that, Patricia Parker? 4 men within the last 6 months, and they keep leaving her. What's going on with that?
Well, I think she needs to question herself what's wrong, because something is wrong. It's not always the 4 men. It's something she's doing is wrong, and she needs to correct herself and find out what's wrong, you know.
So take time and concentrate on herself. Let's go to the phone lines once this evening. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to call the first 6 numbers. We don't recognize it's not coming through the queue. 772-878. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Mrs. Campbell, Eula Campbell.
Okay, Ms. Eula Campbell, thank you for joining us this evening. Ms. Campbell, what are your thoughts on, do you think people actually struggle when it comes to making good decisions? Or why is it that people just sometimes, as we see it from the outside, it seems like, why would somebody be dating a married man only getting enough to pay their light bill, like in our story tonight? She's dating this man. He takes her out on occasion, and he's only paying the light bill, which might be $120 a month, if that. But he takes her out, and they've been together for 3 years. He takes her out on occasion. Is that a bad decision?
Yes, it is. I think she's selling herself too cheap. She's worth more than that.
Okay, so would it make a difference if he paid her rent or her mortgage?
It certainly would.
Okay.
But what I wanted to ask about was why do people try to live above their means, you know? They could only afford a $300 a month car, and then they go and buy a $600 a month car. And then they keep moving from job to job. You know, they can't keep a job. You know, and they keep borrowing money from people, and then they promise to pay them back at a certain time, but then, like, something comes up and they don't. I mean, something is wrong with these people, I think, you know, who make decisions like that.
Absolutely. So, Ms. Campbell, let me ask you this, because some of that we've kind of alluded to in responding to tonight. But let me ask you this. If that person is, let's say, for example, if it's a guy named John or John and his wife, Sally. So if they're going to John and Sally every month to keep borrowing money from them and they're not paying them back, is there something wrong with that individual, the borrower, or is it, I mean, the borrower or the lender? I mean, listen, because I'm trying to think, Rick is the rescue, let me bring you in here. Bring the rescue. I would think there's something wrong with the lender. If you come into John and Sally and they keep loaning you this money and you're not even paying them back and it's clearly specified that this is a loan, then, I mean, what does that say in your opinion about John and Sally?
Well, the person becomes an enabler, right? And so you're saying that you're helping, but the question becomes, are you really helping by allowing them to stay in the same predicament that they're in?
Absolutely. And see, that's when Ricky the Rescue said earlier, and I certainly agree, you know, sometimes there are people we think we can help everybody, but everybody can't be saved. Everybody can't be helped. Because they're not willing to, and one of the major things that I find, they're not willing to listen to rationale. They're not willing to listen to rationale. So, Ms. Eula Campbell, we're going to ask you to stand by. Anybody want to respond to what she said? Why do people keep making these decisions? Why do they live beyond their means? Fort Rosette, let's bring you in here. Why do you think people live beyond their means? Let's bring forward Rosetti in. Why do they live beyond their means? They're trying to keep up with the Joneses, you said earlier.
Yeah, like you said, they have other people to fall back on, and so in the end, you know, it's not really bothering them as much as it needs to, because their problems, they're kind of pushing it on to other people, because you said that she lives with her mom, right?
Right, right. Yeah, she lives with her mom, and a lot of this falls on.
Yeah, she's not feeling the full brunt of her decisions and what it's really causing, because.
Right.
Yeah.
So could it be that her mom is enabling her? But the mom, what grandmother is likely to put her grandchildren out? You know, you got one teenager, and then the other two are younger. I mean, maybe the grandmother, you know, has that pattern too.
Yeah, so that's why she definitely they need to encourage her to do counseling.
Wow, good luck with that.
So that she can try to break the cycle that she's in.
And that's pretty much what it is. Benny from the Block, I want to bring you in here. Benny from the Block, are you there? All right, perhaps he's not. Michelle, I think, may have left us already.
No, I'm still here for now, but I'm about to go. But I was going to say, you know, these people that live beyond their means, they want more. That's the only way they can get it. And nowadays, in this 21st century, these young people, they are saying, who cares about being in debt? You know, they don't care. So they don't realize when they retire, it's going to hurt them then. But right now, I'm living in the moment. So that's why they do it. Live in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Living in the moment. Living in the moment.
I'm here, Dr.
Living in the moment.
Okay. Ben's on the block.
I'm here,
Dr. Yeah. So
yes, I'm here.
Let's take this next comment for you. Comes away so choosing the right man. This male, he says, I think most people struggle because they don't want anyone to tell them what to do or how to do better in their own lives. Mm-hmm. Is there any validity or truth behind that, Benny from the Block, in your opinion?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a whole new generation of people now who believe that they want to do what they want to do, they want to make whatever decision they want to make. And, you know, hey, listen, we all have choices. And so who are we to say their choice is right or wrong? But I've learned in life that some people make bad choices that they think that's right and they love it. So if my mother used to say, if you like it, I love it. So sometimes you got to let them go what they know.
Okay. All right. So, Sir Ben, let me ask you this here question. While I've got you here, we're about 18 minutes from closing out tonight's show. So, okay, let's say that in Victoria's case, she's dating this married man, and another gentleman comes along that happens to be single. Let's say he works on her job, and he's interested in her, but she's getting paid every month from this married man. This is paid the light bill is, and she goes out on occasion. So the fact of the matter is, it's like, well, I got this here, you know, this is my security. I get my light bill paid every month, $120. So why would I risk dating this new guy, giving up the married man, and I might not get anything and it might not work out because I've been with the married man for 3 years. So why wouldn't she make a better – would that be – I mean, what could be in her mind? How could she see the rationale? That's the question. To go and take a risk with this guy that's uncertain versus the man who's paying her light bill every month just because he's married?
Very quickly, my father used to say, whatever you practice doing, you become an expert with it because that's where your heart and your mind is. This is where her heart and mind is. It's always the easy shortcut, the nothing that challenged her to be better. And so if she's become very comfortable in just the okey-doke, which is what we call it. We call it the okey-doke. If she's okay with the okey-doke, then, you know, that's just the way it is, which is why the married man has chose her, because he realized she's an okey-doke type person.
All right. This is a very interesting one tonight, you all. It's we're talking about struggling to make better decisions, and as Ms. Jay pointed out earlier, maybe it's not a struggle for some people. And, you know, it gives you something to think about. Ricky the Rescue, let's bring you in here. Maybe it's not a struggle for for some people. Maybe it's just not a struggle.
And not only is it not a struggle, going back to the mentality in which you spoke about earlier, when we're talking about that 15 minutes of fame, some people feel that they're happier, you know, just with that 15 minutes of fame, and that happiness can last a year. So if I never get that fame and I'm unhappy for 10 years, that 15 minutes is going to outweigh that. It's going to be greater because even though, you know, other people are, when we're looking at it, it's like, well, why would they do that? But if they think they found their happiness, they're going to continue to do whatever they're doing. And so when we said earlier, some people, they may just can't be helped. When you have the mentality that you're already happy, and if that's what your happiness is, you know, your happiness is, you may just continue to do that. That may now, you know, may not ever change.
Okay, so Ricky the Rescue, let me ask you, along those lines, when we're talking about perpetuating a situation, which is what you're saying here, so what about if you got a friend that you try to groom to go with you? Let's say you start out on your bachelor and you say to your friend, hey, come on, join me. Let's start, do your bachelor, do something. And then all of a sudden now you got a friend who, and they don't do anything. They start, but they stop. And then you're getting ready to work on your master's, and we're just using education at this point. And you say, hey, come on and get into something while you do it. And then they say, nah, I am, but I have a plan. And then all of a sudden now, 25 years later, you realize your friend is stuck in this same rut. They're stuck in that rut. When you're having ultimate success, but you're not looking down on your friend, but it dawns on you that your friend, now they got to borrow from you. They got to borrow from others. They got to, and that's your life. What happens to those people? But the good thing is you didn't allow your friend to stop you from succeeding. What happens to that friend? Why did that friend, when you talk about perpetuating things, that friend says, I got a plan. One day, you know, we did a show on that. One day I'm going to fill, and you fill in the blank. What happens to those people?
Well, it's a good situation if you're not able to allow, you know, that friend to bring you down, because that often happens. And so especially when, you know, you have someone alone for a very long time and you may not even realize how they're bringing you down, but more, and it's more so the mentality of it. And so that person who continues that cycle of, even if they're just saying I have a plan and it's never executed, right, it's hard to progress if you're staying in the same space as another person. If you don't have the mentality of I'm going to move regardless of how it's going to make another person feel, like if you don't establish that limit in certain situations, it'll be very difficult. And, you know, that person who's kind of stringing you along at this point could be holding you back. And oftentimes, you know, the person who moves on is the person that gets caught the sellout and everything else, right? Because now you're being different, or now you're not helping me anymore. And so you also find it challenging when you're trying to deal with those emotions.
Absolutely. We're going to ask you to stand by. Very interesting point. Very interesting dialogue tonight, you all. We're going to bring in Marjorie Cross, give us a commercial break, then we'll come back. But first, we want to, Marjorie Cross, welcome to tonight's broadcast. I want to give you this comment and then give you a commercial break. And this comment says, I struggle with making a decision to end my horrible – I struggle with making a decision to end my horrible marriage. And after 12 years, I did. I'm thankful – you know, she says, I struggled with making a decision to end my horrible marriage after 12 years. I did. I'm thankful for having a loving family and a couple of good friends who helped me through the process. Why did it, would you think that it takes, Marjorie Cross, take somebody 12 years in their marriage to finally come to a decision? In your opinion, what do you think happened that brought this person to this point?
Yes. Good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening all your co-hosts and also everyone on the line. I think that in the 12 years, I'm sure there was a lot of good and maybe a few little things that was not that good. And maybe depends on the situation. Maybe children is involved. It all depends on the situation. You know, she just don't want to give up the person just like that. So I think it's based on the situation, whether there's children involved and whether it's just unbearable. Because, you know, sometimes people do things and you just put up with something for a while and that's it. But if children is involved, it, to me, she'll struggle even more because she don't want to just leave like that. She want to think it through before she really do that. Okay.
All right, go ahead and give us your commercial break real quick, and then we'll bring Ricky to the rescue to give his commercial.
Okay. All right. Well, good evening again, everyone. My name is Marjorie Allen Cross. I'm a nurse, and I'm a health and wellness consultant with one of the most outstanding leading companies in the world, Isagenics. We have many health products that may be able to help you with any health conditions. We have products like collagen, which is good for the hair, the nail, the skin, the joint. And it's also, you know, different products that's good for other things. If you would like to find out more about it, please give me a call at 786-319-7223. Again, 786-319-7223. Or you could visit the website at betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. Thank you, Dr. Walker. Thank you, everybody.
And thank you.
Great.
Reach to Rescue, let's bring you in. Thank you. Reach to Rescue, let's bring you in for your commercial, please.
Yes, if you're out there and you know you're having trouble or you have difficulties making these decisions, this is a time that you can contact A Path to Greatness for some guidance. And we can be reached at 2greatness.com. That is the website. That the number 2greatness.com. Again, that is the number 2greatness.com. Also, you can call at 404-968-9940. Again, that phone number is 404-968-9940. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right. Thank you so much for the rescue, and thank you, Ms. Cross, as well. So let's go here. And Benny from the block, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right, we'll let you close us out, if you don't mind, in about 6 minutes with the topic tonight, why do some people struggle or why do I struggle with making better decisions? Will do you do that for us in about
yes,
5 or 6 minutes? All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go ahead and bring in Port Roseanne, this comment. I think making this mail, he writes in, he says, I think making better decisions require a process that allows you to think and rethink several times and analyze your thinking about the thing that you are thinking about. Whoa. I know that's a mouthful, but the bottom line is you have to think in your best interest based on your circumstance. Now, that is a mouthful. So Port Rosette, basically, he says you have to think and rethink. Think and rethink. I mean, who's got time to go and process all of that in your thoughts quickly, Port Rosette?
Yes, it's important to not be impulsive. So I agree that you need to think and rethink, and that's why I said you may need to sleep on it overnight. You know, she's done a lot of impulsive things, and so she needs to I feel that, you know, that's why it's important sometimes for people to get a mentor. If they keep realizing that they're not making good decisions, they may need some coaching or someone, you know, they need to find someone who they look up to and who is, you know, successful in different ways so that they can get some energy to go in the right direction.
But, you know, Port Rosette, while I've got you here, and I want to go to Neela Lewis in Tennessee, and thank you for your patience, Ms. Lewis. I want to go to her in a moment. But while I've got you here, it's almost like we would live in such a microwave society that people, and they've said it on the air tonight, people just want what they want when they want it, and they want it right now. They don't want to worry about, I'm not trying to get an education or vocational training, just like with Victoria. She wasn't trying to better herself. She felt it's a waste of time. She dropped out in 11th grade in high school. It's a waste of time. So should we be expecting more from, and I don't mean to sound judgmental, but should we be expecting more from Victoria or people like that?
No, and that's what I said. It's like somebody like her, unless they get help, they're kind of like stuck and spiraling down because they're not doing anything to better themselves. And so for sure, until she gets to that point to see that she needs to reach out for help, she may be stuck for a while, but she really does need help.
Right.
Who
I want to. We're almost out of time. Right. We're almost out of time here. Ms. Julie Kim, I want to bring you in here, but Ricky Gillespie, I want you to ponder something that I want to come back to you on is, what makes it, do we have a duty to help somebody like Victoria? You know, because we want to, we're thinking about her children down the road. So do we have a duty? But before you answer that, let me go to Nita Lewis, who's been waiting patiently. Ms. Lewis, thank you for joining us tonight. I mean, you know, making these decisions, what gives, I mean, is it our thing to judge Victoria because she's make, okay, she's with a married man who pays her light bill.
Light bill.
All right. You know, so, I mean, that's what she wants right now. She's comfortable with that. So could it be that people get in their comfort zone and they're saying, listen, leave me alone. I'm okay with my life. If I'm doing drugs, leave me alone. I'm comfortable. It's my free choice. It's my free will. Nita Lewis, quickly, 15 seconds or less, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, good evening. Good evening. We are saying that the person is comfortable. The person who is in that condition may not be comfortable. They really want to get out of that rut. So I think that whatever anyone can do to help her, we should. If the person says, leave me alone, there are many times people who are mentally ill say, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Or they may not even be mentally ill, but they're saying, leave me alone. It's just words. But deep down in their heart, they know they need help. And if they don't know that they need help, we need to point out to them that they do need help and try to help them as much as possible and not be judgmental.
Right, but then where's their free choice? Their free will comes in. If they appear to go in and out of rationality, of being rational, some days they're on a high, some days they're just not functioning properly like we think they may be, whatever the word normal means. So then, Ms. Nita Lewis, just in a few seconds or less, tell me then, you know, why not leave them alone? How can you help somebody that does not want to help themselves? How?
Well, sometimes some people just need to know that somebody loves and cares about them. Sometimes people act in a way that you would think that they want to be left alone. But deep down in their hearts, they really want somebody to give them some tender, loving care.
Okay,
and
not give up on them.
We shouldn't give up on anybody.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ricky Rescue, because we're running out of... Right, okay, we're running out of time, and I'm sorry to cut you off, because Benny's on the block, and I'm going to close it out. Ricky Rescue, just quickly here, is it our duty? We had a show on that. Is it our duty if Victoria says, hey, look, I'm okay, mind your own business?
Yeah, well, I do, you know, believe, you know, that you shouldn't have to give up on someone, but I think you have to readjust your techniques. And I say that to say this, I think everyone relates to something. And so my approach to helping someone, it may not be helpful at all. I may have to just introduce them to a whole new person that they may be able to relate to, but I'm not going to force myself on something that's not working.
That is absolutely brilliant. I concur certainly with that. Listen, Ricky to the Rescue, that makes absolute sense to me because I'm right there with you. And I've had to refer people to so many other people because it's like, okay, I know when to stop. Benny from the block, go ahead and close us out. Why do I struggle with making better decisions? Give us your closing thoughts, please.
There's a well-known song called Everybody Plays a Fool Sometime. From the beginning of time, when Lucifer first had iniquity come up in him, he had a choice. I could put this down or do away with it, or I can make a choice to allow it to come up in me and become who I want to be. Adam and Eve made a choice. The choice caused what we call civilization today to have changed forever because they made a choice. The word speaks many times of God takes care of babies and fools. So as we move through life, we understand that those who make foolish choices are going to be with us. It is a part of our existence. We all make wrong choices sometimes, but the sometime means that when I was a child, I thought like a child. That means I made foolish choices. But when I matured and became a man or a woman, I put away those foolish thoughts and started making better, more secure thoughts. Our lives are a combination of good thoughts and bad thoughts. Some bad choices that we make build us to be great people. Some choices that we make tears us down that we don't recover. Do each and one of us have a choice? Yes. Being here tonight on this radio show is a choice. To learn something better and greater is a choice. Your choice is valuable, whether we agree with it or not. Some people make choices that are not agreeable to us, but it's not for us. It's a different journey for them. Others make good choices that are not agreeable to us, but it's a journey for them. In the whole essence of life, we all have a choice. Good, bad, wrong, or indifferent, you have to respect people's choice because it was given to us. Good night.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank each and every one of you all for taking time out of your busy schedules to be with us on tonight's broadcast. Thank you so very much. We appreciate your commentaries. And again, all the opinions that are expressed on these shows are those of our co-hosts, myself, as well as our callers and listeners. So thank you all very much. We're going to ask that you join us here tomorrow night for a topic that you really don't want to miss. The topic tomorrow night is, does God help us in making decisions on anything? Does God help us in making decisions on anything? You don't want to miss tomorrow night's topic. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's topic, we'll be back here next Thursday live for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Until tomorrow or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker, and good night, all the hosts and everyone. Great closing, Benny on the Block. Thank you. And thanks to everyone. God bless you all. Stay safe and stay well, everyone.
The same to you.
Thank you all. God bless you too.
God bless you too.
Have a good night, everyone. Okay, bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Great show. Great show. Okay.